Innovation, disruption, and big issues. This is Business Game Changers with Sarah Westall.
Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. Today we are going to be having our second part of our interview with Dr. Sam on the Bosnian Pyramids. But before we get into that, I want to talk to you a little bit about my book, Wrong Side of History. It's about the Syrian war. It's specifically about Assad and what his views are, what he's like, and what we're really doing in Syria. It's an interview with Senator Richard Black, who has extensive experience in the Middle East. He was the chief at the Pentagon. He's very knowledgeable. It gives you a different insight on what's going on in the Middle East. We also talk about Russia and his views on that, and he talks about NATO. A lot of things that you aren't going to hear in the mainstream media, a deep look into these items. He won't be covered by the mainstream media. They won't listen to him. But it's really sad because he has so much experience. And he's the senator that wrote the letter to Assad back in 2014 and then ended up visiting him in last year, 2016, not quite. Yeah, about a little over a year ago now. And it's really good information. And I recommend that if you're interested at all in the Syrian war, what's really going on, you should read that book. He's claiming that the whole region, if Assad falls, the whole region is going to be ethnically cleansed, meaning over 4 million people are going to get killed. Lots of Christians are going to be slaughtered. It's a nightmare. So it's a really good book for people to read and to understand. It's not the book that's important. It's the information that's important. I am not a Pulitzer Prize winning author, but the information that's in there is really critical. And if you cannot afford the book, I will send it to you for free. Just send me a message and I'll get it to you for free because I want this information out there. And you can get it on Amazon. You can get it on my website at sarahwestall.com. It's $4.99 and it's not that expensive. I'm just trying to cover my costs. Again, if you can't afford it, send me a message. I'll send you it for free. And please tell your friends and neighbors to read this. It's really important that this information gets out and people really understand what's going on in the world and what we're backing and what we stand for. I think the war would end tomorrow if people understood what was really going on. So let's not waste much more time. I really want to get back into my interview with Dr. Sam, and let's rejoin that interview now.
And you know, when people don't, sometimes they don't understand, or they don't want to, understand, they either laugh at you, they attack you, but 20 or 50 years from now, all our colleagues in Egypt, China, or Mexico, or Peru, wherever the pyramids are, they will be following our steps. They will realize, hey, pyramids are not about place for one dead body.
Yeah, it's silly. But
they were built as the energy amplifiers, energy machines, and we can learn so much from them. And the good thing is about it, you can measure those energy phenomena.
Well, there's a lot of scientists, you know, with all these entrepreneurs and all this science and Silicon Valley and everything going on. There's a lot more open-minded people to looking at this stuff. Maybe archaeologists are kind of, they're just in a different frame of mind. But when you're talking about, you know, this kind of science, data science and electrical engineers, especially computer science, they are way open to looking at different phenomena. Yeah. So working with those scientists must be a lot of fun for you and rewarding, because they'll come to the table trying to prove this stuff out and they're excited about it too.
Yes, it is. And I consider myself the most blessed guy on the planet, because the last 12 years I met thousands and thousands of exceptional people, conventional scientists, alternative scientists, traditional, this and that, spiritual scientists. And I've been learning from every one of them. We started this project 30 years ago as the archaeological project. And then we expanded to interdisciplinary scientific projects. And then we went to the next field, energy field. And then to the next field, spiritual field. Because we realized, hey, this energy aspect really influences our spiritual aspect. How's that? Bigger aura, spiritual senses. And then we went to the next one, to the self-healing aspect. You go to the tunnels, You measure the results, you get your blood tested, you get your urine tested, and you can see that 30 parameters that we've been investigating are much better after being exposed to the pyramid energy. And it matches exactly what our Russian colleagues have been doing in the last 25 years. So I would say at this point, when it comes to the pyramid science, two leading nations in the world are Russia and Bosnia. Why? Because we have unlimited access to the pyramids. In our case, to the ancient pyramids, in Russian case, to the modern pyramids, because they've been building pyramids near Moscow, St. Petersburg, and in Siberia, in Tomsk. And we've been doing a series of experiments when it comes to the medical, healing, superconductivity, electrical production, and so on. So, this is what we can prove. So why would I waste my time trying to, you know, argue with some archaeologists who are saying these are natural formations? This is past, you know, behind
you've
us.
You've moved on.
Yeah.
That makes
we
sense.
We have held 5 international scientific conferences, 120 scientists. And we got all in our, you know, conference proceedings, on our websites, in our books, you know, everything's there. They want to find out more, let them read. You know, I cannot waste my energy and, you know, try to argue with everyone.
I agree with that. You're only alive for so long. Why should I be bogged down? I want to find out what's really going on here. Now, there was a huge discovery in Turkey where they found the Egyptian princess, their stuff in Turkey. You know, a dark journalist had it on his show. You know what I'm talking about.
It was from the last month, yes.
It was incredible. And mainstream media didn't talk about it. It was one of the biggest finds, just like the Bible. It was one of the big, at least it was Egyptian, and we can tie it, and people can relate to it, and they still didn't cover it. Can you talk about that? Because that was an incredible find. And I know that you are in this world, and you would know, you know, in that circle, you would know what's going on there as well.
Well, officially, Egyptians would go as far as today's Israel, Palestine, Jordan, but not Turkey. And all of a sudden, we have them not only in Turkey, we have them in Australia, we have them on the American continent. Now, the idea of historians and archaeologists is that the full communication between continents started at the end of the 15th century with Christopher Columbus, and then 16th and so on. But communication was there not thousands, but tens of thousands of years. You know, when you see some, for example, pyramids in Mexico, there is a place called Tula. It was officially the capital for the Toltecs. On one of the top of one of the pyramids, you can see 8 stone columns. They represent the faces of different races from different continents. That's from the 8th century. How do they know about all continents there? Mm-hmm. And they're telling us that there was no communication. When you take the 2 most prominent pyramids in Africa and Central America, the Great Pyramid of Egypt and the Pyramid of the Sun in Teotihuacan. Now, in the Egyptian pyramids, we have number pi, 3.14, incorporated. What you do, you take the length of the sides at the base, 231 meters, 2 sides 462, divided by height 147, results 3.14. In the case of Mexican pyramid, you have square root or number pi. And then the length of the sides in Egypt, 231 meters, in Mexico, 231 meters. We have 3 big pyramids at the Giza Plateau, Khufu, Kefren, Meseren. We have 3 big ones in Mexico, Sun, Moon, Quetzalcoatl. And their layout is exactly the same. So here, you know, we can see the signature of the same architect. And they're telling us thousands of years back, there was no communication. But the Turkish discovery that you just mentioned, of course there was communication. I mean, those people, those days, they were traveling, they were sailing all around the planet. But they keep us uninformed. Less we know, we are easier to control and to be manipulated.
Well, I was talking to Cliff High, and he has actually a picture of a pyramid in Antarctica. He's not able to publish it. I mean, I don't have a way to prove this, but people are saying that there's probably pyramids in Antarctica, and huge pyramids, which I think is absolutely, you know, phenomenal. Have you heard much about this?
Well, I have seen some pictures. The problem is how to independently verify
it. Yes.
But I could see it's not one, it's most probably three of them. Now, we can see two sides, that they are triangular, and it's rather good geometry. But of course, they are covered by snow and by ice. One has to go there, probably Antarctica, of course, it's the military zones, you know, that continent is divided, you know, by several countries, and then unless you are part of these military teams and politically correct, you cannot simply go there and independently verify that. The another one on Alaska, it is based on the stories by the, you know, U.S. military 40, 50 years ago. So we have places like that where the access is very, very limited or not possible. We have also some places like on the bottom of Caribbean Sea, you know, off the coast of Cuba with the sonar, you know, 40 years ago. They got some images of possible pyramids, which is, I would say, very possible because there was a huge landmass until 12,000 years ago in the middle of the Atlantic. Some people call it the land of Atlantis. And with the pyramids on this land. However, there are more pyramids that they are accessible, you know, Central American pyramid, the Mayan pyramids, Mexico, Guatemala, Honduras, Belize, and El Salvador. You can go there, and especially because of the fact that 90% of the Mayan pyramids are still covered by soil and vegetation, and some of them are very old. For example, we have some big pyramids in Palenque, 25 of them have been uncovered, but originally they had 1,229 pyramids. And the biggest pyramid is not uncovered yet. Mexican government does not have intention to do that because this pyramid is at the same time the oldest. And then again, our ideas about evolution, not so good anymore. So the wall of the past was the wall of the pyramids. What else we're going to unearth? I would say in Amazon, there is also a number of pyramids. Of course, in there are 224 Nubian pyramids, 100 in Sudan, 103 of them on Canary Islands. On island of Mauritius, 7 pyramids. They are really beautiful, stepped in design in the middle of the Indian Ocean. So the pyramid science, I think, has the future. And then we can see how the ancients are using this shape in their practice.
So you talked about the, you know, the scalar energy coming out of the top of the pyramid. And I just had an interview with Wal Thornhill. He's, you know, the Electric Universe. I'd really like you two to talk. I think you could get a lot out of that Electric Universe theories. And have you followed any of that? I assume you have and listened to it. Because I and with the sun, and you're talking about the sun being, because that's where they're going with all their theories, and they've been working really hard to prove this out.
Electric universe is very interesting theory, and then it can answer many questions. For example, communication within the universe, and that would explain so much more. And then when you imagine that, it should be, of course, some creative force, intelligence behind the universe, and the electric universe can answer all the questions. How to control, manipulate, and stay informed with everything going on in the universe, you know, immediately, at the same moment, not wait 5 billion years. But the problem is, 100 years ago, they simply did not consider that. People who are developing the theory about the universe, they had no clue about, you know, the electrical nature of the universe. And, you know, that was the problem there. But I'm hoping that more and more proofs will be coming on the surface with the people who are supporting this theory, because I think that what we have in Bosnia, the scalar waves and the electric universe, will be answered to many questions.
Well, and I think you're moving to a cross-discipline, or you've already moved there, a cross-discipline site, where you're bringing in all scientists from all these different fields. And I would think that would be a perfect connection to really start bringing answers to that. and vice versa. They have all these electrical engineers that are really working hard at proving out these theories, and it's working in labs. And yes. We're still in the infancy of accepting this, right? But there's a lot of scientists that are saying, hey, wait a minute, this makes sense, and these theories are all proving out. I want this to come to mainstream so they can debate it. Let's debate it and get these facts out there and start debating and flushing out what's nonsense and what isn't so that we can move forward. There's too many smart people that are looking at this saying, hey, wait a minute.
You are right. You know, 100 years ago, Nikola Tesla was the only one trying to get the free energy. But then when you have just one guy, it's very easy to stop him. You know, the mainstream against him, you know, they put his life on fire, they did not finance him, and that's it. But today, there are hundreds, there are thousands of people from Dubai to US, from Brazil to Norway, from Singapore to so many other countries, working on these free energy devices. Sooner or later...
And at universities.
It will become our reality.
Yes, it will.
You won't be able to stop that anymore. And once you have the free energy, it is going to change our society forever. Because today, when you look at it, I mean, the main source of income for elites and the main strength they have is based on this energy system they have, you know. Less than 1% of the people have everything. 99%, you know, they need to struggle every day in our daily life, you know, to pay the mortgages and loans and houses and cars. And then they push through the media, through TV, all these consumables, buy this, buy that. But once you have the free energy, it changes everything. And the next step, the next pillar of the free society should be the free flow of knowledge. And once you have that, based on those two pillars, you'll have a society of free women and free men. Because based on monopoly on the knowledge from the ancient times and today, this is how the elites function. And based on that monopoly, they have monopoly on the corporate world, on the political world, on the religious world, on the financial world, on media, and so on. Those two things, they're going to change our society forever. And we are going in that direction.
Well, the free flow of knowledge is so crucial to so many things. I mean, we have big problems, and if we can get the free flow of knowledge, we can start solving some of these problems. Right? I mean, it's very difficult to solve it without knowledge, and we have some issues. And I think what you're discovering and what the electric universe and all these things, getting that knowledge, that free flowing, who knows where things, you need to get things fleshed out too, right? You're at the edge of science. Whenever you're at the edge of science, you gotta get through those flaws. But when you have the free flow of knowledge, then you can flush that stuff out quicker. You can get great ideas coming to you, which you probably are already getting a lot of that. But the regular people getting more minds and geniuses engaged, it would just, and we're in a renaissance now, which you can feel. I know you can feel it.
Internet has become such a powerful tool. And now you can share information with people all around the planet. Hasn't been the case until, you know, a few years back. Now it is the case. You know, several years ago, I went to Giza, and in front and in the back of the Sphinx, I could see the wooden palace below the holes, and I knew that Egyptians were digging at night when tourists were not there. What they were looking for, we know that also. The Hall of Records. Or the library of Atlanteans, older than 12,000 years. And then when I went to talk to the Giza director, I asked him, what did you find so far? He answered me, oh, this is confidential. I cannot tell you. Why is it confidential? The knowledge does not belong to the Egyptian Supreme Council of Antiquities or to the British government. It belongs to all of us.
Belongs to the people. Now, couldn't there realistically be multiple libraries around the world? We just have to find them.
Of course, and from different civilizations, in different forms. And they are there. In most cases, you simply need to dig deep. But, you know, our Bosnian Pyramid Project has become the most open project in the world. From day one, I said, well, We won't have secrets. We won't have selective information. We will not have elites here. And that's the reason why we opened the project for volunteers from all over the world. Never in the world of archaeology has been such enthusiasm. You know, in the last 7 years only, we have had 2,450 volunteers from 62 countries and 6 continents, professionals and non-professionals alike. They come, they can work, they become part of discoveries. They find organic material, they find artifacts. So 10, 20 years from now, they can tell their kids or grandkids, hey, I still.
So I remember watching and listening to some people that were, when they started getting involved in your project, they were struggling with being able to be taken seriously in their field, right? Which was sad. Is that stopping now? Is that not as big of a deal?
I would say it is not. It's still some pressure, especially in the archaeological world. But you know, for example, a few years back, just during one season, I had 54 archaeologists. So it's not like, you know, 2006, 7, 8, there was a threat from European Archaeological Union that whoever goes to Bosnia, they're going to lose their jobs when they come back. You have some independent guys. You have archaeologists who don't care about the trade. You know, you got people, they come, they want to see what's going on. But not only archaeologists, geologists, geophysicists, satellite experts, geothermal experts. People come with the PIP, with the special cameras, you know, to film the energy fields above the Bosnian pyramids. You have medical doctors, you have physicists, you have energy experts, you have spiritual scientists. A lot of psychics coming and feeling the energies. Almost the common ground for all of them, oh, Egyptian pyramids are dead, Bosnian pyramids are untouched, pristine, alive, stuff like that. So we hear a lot of interesting stories. And, you know, before you started this archaeological project, purely scientific, but now you realize, hey, you need to open up, you need to listen to everyone. I remember one of my archaeological managers, Tim Moon from New Zealand, and he started working for us, you know, archaeologists, archaeological trenches, document everything, everything per book. 3 years later, he asked me, Sam, did you know that everything is alive, that even rocks are alive? It was the influence from so many volunteers. Well, in a sense, he's right. Everything has its own frequency. The rocks, the plants, the animals, humans, our planet, pyramids, we all vibrate. Everything is really alive. Water. You can see that the water has the memory. You expose it to good stuff, it vibrates higher. You expose it to the bad stuff, you tell her bad stuff, the water, you know, vibrates lower. So,
well, they've done studies with the water, right? Like if you have love, it has a different crystal shape. And if you have hate, it has an ugly little shape.
Ugly and contaminated water looking so bad. So it's interesting. I mean, it's amazing. Until 10, 15 years ago, we didn't know about it. But now also in our project, we can see. And then just the other day, we had Professor Korotkov from Russia. He has invented those instruments to measure the aura and chakras. So he combined really traditional Indian medicine with the Western technology. And then he took our water from the tunnels. And then he did the measurements with the aura and chakras before the water and after the water. After the water, you could see the chakras were getting so much bigger. The energy flow was so much better. And they were getting so balanced. So water has a message for us. It is also programmed with so many good inputs. Amazing stuff.
So Russia, let's get back to some of the pyramids they're building in Russia. Are they looking at what you're doing and trying to duplicate that in their pyramids? I mean, that's incredible if they're doing some of that.
The first major pyramid builder was Dr. Alexander Golod, who started building in 1991, the first pyramids in Russia and Ukraine. But his biggest pyramid is near Moscow, about 50 kilometers, 30 miles from Moscow. It is 100 and 40 feet in height. And I was there, I spoke to him. Of course, he knew what we were doing, you know, what he does. For example, one of his experiments, he brought 5 tons of salt, kitchen salt, in the pyramid. And then he sent these 5 tons of salt to the nearby prison, to the 6,000 prisoners. And for the breakfast, lunch, and dinner, they were using this salt, just the salt. And 3 months later, he went to the prison, talking to the, you know, department chiefs, you know, how the prisoners were behaving, were there any changes. They told him, this is amazing. It is like we have new prisoners. The violence level was reduced to 0%.
Wow.
I mean, in prisons, you always have people playing with knives and, you know, how it was. Here was 0%. So, the benefits from the pyramid energy, if you are exposed to. So, obviously, the ancients were so smart. So, it was not only about the communication, which is major thing, about the health, which is major thing, about the water, about the food. It is about the whole society. Sarah, we live in a society which is based on fear, on violence. Now, imagine if we form, if we establish the pyramid network, or at least if we find a way to awaken existing pyramids, which are around the planet, and we get influence on the whole society, it would be much healthier and happier society.
Yeah. That's really interesting, because I love this, because things are starting to all connect. Some scientists did research on mice that were very, very aggressive, and ones that were more passive and docile, and they took the bacteria out of the aggressive mice and put them into and they swapped. You know, the aggressive mice bacteria went into the passive ones, and the passive mice bacteria went into the aggressive ones, and their personalities changed. Mm. So they know at a very basic level it has to do with our cells, right? And how, whether we're aggressive or passive, or and I think there's a lot more to it here. You're talking energy, and you found something that actually can alter some of that. I just would like to see more fields of study looking into this, because there's something there, and it would change our world. It would change the existence that we have, which is a very violent, very ugly world right now.
Yes, definitely. Again, our Russian colleagues, you mentioned the mice, they did experiment with the pyramid water. So what they did, they have one group of the mice that had been drinking the pyramid water. Another one, the control group, was drinking regular water. And then they injected the deadly bacteria to both groups. The survival rates of the control group was 0%. They all died. Yeah. Survival rates of the ones that were drinking pyramid water was 40%. And it was just the pyramid water, 40%. A big difference. So now, you know, we can see how many benefits we can have out of that. But you know, what is the problem? I mentioned these benefits in the Russian prison. And Dr. Golod told me, after 2 years, the Russian government did not renew the contract.
Oh, geez.
I mean, it would be so logical if you have so many benefits, if you have such a peaceful prisoner that, you know, you would spend a little bit additional money for the salt. It's just the salt. I mean, you're not building labs or stuff. It is like the governments do not want us to be peaceful, but violent.
Well, and if all it was salt and it was completely changing the atmosphere, wouldn't you want to continue doing that? That's incredible. Do you have the reports from that prison study?
Yes.
Can you send that to me? Because I'll put that on the radio page. That's incredible. Oh, that's sad, actually, that they canceled your contract.
And then, you know, I remember 1999, 2000, those years, everybody was talking about a huge hole in ozone layer above New Zealand and Australia. And he offered to the government of New Zealand to build the pyramids there to fix the problem. They rejected it. Then he went to states, Yellowstone. You know that, you know, there is problems, past potential problems, volcanoes, tectonic movements, this and that. They didn't want to talk to him. So it's not just the Russia, it's everywhere. The government simply wants to keep this status quo. They want to keep the way how the society is organized. And this is shame. Instead to improve the society, you know, we have, why do we have that? Because of the elites. They want to have those differences. But then, you know, with the projects like the Bosnian Pyramid Project, where we have every year 50,000 visitors, where we have hundreds and hundreds of volunteers, some major media is coming, you know, we have such a positive atmosphere in the heart of Bosnia, and those vibes, they go to the outside world. People come, they discuss, they share the knowledge, they go back homes, you know, much richer. And now, you know, they go to different sides, to different people. So they become, you know, the change. So I think it's important that every one of us do, you know, what we can do. And then eventually we're going to become so organized and we're going to form such a big network and the stuff will be changing for the better.
Yes, absolutely. And if we can change things for the better and have a peaceful, more loving environment, how good would that be? I mean, look what's going on in Syria right now. That's unacceptable. And if we have some ways to make that better, then we should be doing it, not just bombing the crap out of people and it makes no sense.
Exactly right. You know, and then talking about back to the pyramid experiments, last year we did the medical study. We had 20 people and we did measurement on them four times. First time before coming to the tunnel, second time immediately after the tunnel, the third time after 1 week, and then after 2 weeks. And then we were preparing the project. The MD, the medical director who was running the project, she told me, listen, we don't need to do the checkup immediately after the tunnels. Let's wait 2 or 3 days. I said, why? Well, she said, well, medical methodologies, if you have a problem, they give you antibiotics, so you need 2 or 3 days until, you know, they start affecting your body. I said, no, what we're going to do, we're going to send people immediately after the tunnels to the clinic so they get, you know, their urine and their blood samples, you know, again. This is what happened. So one of the parameters is so-called sedimentation. It is very common in Europe that people first check sedimentation. If the sedimentation is higher, on a higher level, it means something is wrong in your body. You have infection, you have disease, you have inflammation, you have something. And then you do additional analysis of the blood and stuff like that to find out what exactly is your problem. All 20 people had a higher sedimentation, so everybody has something little wrong, little or big wrong. And, you know, they were the age from 40 to 75 years old, so it's logical that, you know, something is wrong in the body. And then we send them immediately to the clinic, after the tunnels, after just 1 hour in the tunnels. 19 out of 20 had decreased sedimentation after one visit in the tunnels. And then we realized that being exposed to the pyramid energy, no matter what's wrong with your body, everybody has some individual problem. It can be on a physical level or mental energy, an aura here, that the self-healing process starts. And now we know why. You know, those tunnels are under the pyramids. In the tunnels, there is no bad cosmic rays because we live on the surface, we love the surface of the earth, but then a lot of radiation is coming our way, and some of them are harmful. And our body cells fight those enemies. In the tunnels, 120 feet below the ground level, no cosmic radiations. The second thing, natural radioactivity. We walk on the surface and this radioactivity is hitting us left or right, coming from the underground. In the tunnels, no natural radioactivity. We had the Geiger counters, we were measuring radioactivity. Number three, we have a you know, when you have underground water flows, water streams, the energy that's coming on the ground is negative for us. For example, if we sleep above underground water, we're going to get sick in 5 or 10 years. What they did in the tunnels, they placed a big ceramic blocks always above underground water streams. And those blocks neutralize negative, transforming to positive energy. So it was thing after thing that those builders of the tunnel, they made sure that they build perfectly safe and protective space. You get inside, your body don't have enemies, your body cell, for the first time in your life, they can start doing their job. Right now, you and I, we are exposed to this, you know, laptops, computers, and energy grids, electrical grid, and Wi-Fi, and nothing out of that in the tunnels. So, this is ideal place to relax, to meditate, and to get a therapy on your body. And also, very important thing, what the builders did, somehow, they've been generating very high concentration of negative ions. Medical science knows that the negative ions are very good for us. They clean our body from viruses and bacteria. They raise the level of oxygen, so they're good for us. In your office, in my office, right now, it's about 100 negative ions per cubic centimeter. It's very low. You go outside to the downtowns, 400. Out in the villages, 800. By the rivers, 1500. Top of the mountains and the forest, 3000. Healthy. In the Bosnian pyramid tunnels, 30 to 40,000 negative ions per cubic centimeter. So they made this underground healing facility. So it's amazing what these builders, I want to say people, but let's use the term builders, those intelligent hands, how they did it, what they knew, and always working with the natural frequencies. 28 kilohertz that I mentioned a while ago, that we measure on the top of the Sun Pyramid, it is in electrical field, some places electromagnetic field, but some places this is ultrasound frequency, 28 kilohertz. American Ralph Ring was experimenting with the ultrasounds. What we can hear is called sound, 10 hertz to 20 kilohertz, about 20 kilohertz ultrasound. 21, 22, 20, when he came to 28 kilohertz, he had the ping pong ball, table tennis ball, above the sound speaker. At this frequency, the ball started levitating. This is the levitation frequency. How did ancients, you know about the levitation frequency? But they knew about it because, you know, we can measure it on the Bosnian pyramids. So you see the genius of those builders. They were using energy sources, existing natural energy sources. They were using elements of sacred geometry. They were using your natural material. And they were getting not only amplified energies, but very specific frequencies. It's a genius. So if you ask me what do I think about the cultural establishment saying these are natural formations, why would we waste our time on that? Because we have so many more exciting stuff to do.
Well, it's just incredible that they wouldn't be really fascinated by it. Or the cognitive dissonance, they're afraid not to be part of the crowd. You know, they're afraid. I think there's fear there that they won't let their brain go past that. Yes, because it doesn't make sense. It's so, some of this stuff is incredible to be looking at. And when you're seeing the pyramids all over the world, well, Egypt is so obvious that it's not what they said. You know, I mean, there's just so many obvious things that are coming out that I don't know why people would even mess around with thinking it's what they said it was. I mean, we got to get past that because it's so obvious. But so now when they're finding things all over the world, and, you know, with the new satellite ability to be able to see under the ground, when do you think it'll become, you know, it's obvious to us and it's obvious to a lot of people we talk to, but it's not obvious yet to the average person. When do you think it will just become so plentiful that it'll become obvious and then they can't do this anymore? You know, with how fast of rate we're finding things.
You know, first they laugh at you, then they attack you, then they ignore you, and they simply accept like it's been there always. So eventually we're going to get to the fourth, you know, segment. It can be 10 years, it can be 20, it can be 50, but who cares? You know, until 10 or 20 or 50 years ago, unless you have something published in, you know, very selective scientific journals, it was not confirmed as scientific. Today, things changed. For example, you have media like YouTube. People want to find something, they go on YouTube. They type your name and see if you have a a lecture or a presentation or something, and then they can see you, they listen to you, and you know, they apply their common sense. They, you know, they can you know, filter you and then see if you are sincere or not. You know, in our case, 10 years ago, they were saying, oh, you don't have, you know, article published in Purview magazine. I don't care about that. I'm talking to the public, to the audience all over the planet. I'm going to Mexico or Singapore or Oslo or Jordan, or I talk to them, those who want to listen. And then, who brings the change? It's not the majority. It's always leaders in culture, in science, in music, in sport, in corporate world. They have to have leaders. They come with the new ideas. The bigger ideas, the bigger obstacles. But if you are persistent, if you survive, it means you are worthy your idea. And in our case, yes, we've been fighting 12 years, it will be another 20 years, another 50 years, and the new generations will come. So I know that we are winning this war.
Well, so now, are you having more and more medical people come and study these tunnels?
Matter of fact, I have medical people coming to, you know, heal themselves. And really, people who come to Bosnian pyramids, they are the ones who have benefits, whether it be scientific or medical or self-healing or, you know, spiritual and so on. But, you know, if you want to do the medical studies properly, the best way would be to have 100 people which you watch over the period of 6 months. And then you can say, hey, it's clinically proven and so on. In our case, we did on 20 people, but again, with the 4 very comprehensive, you know, studies and so many 30 different parameters, it costs money. Unfortunately, everything costs money. But we managed to do that, the medical study. We managed to, you know, bring those experts in energy phenomena, doing all these measurements and detection and, you know, scanner and so forth. Plus, we managed to have archaeologists and geologists and our workers and volunteers, which you need to provide with lunches and tools and experts and so on. So when you see every segment, unfortunately, requires money. But, you know, I think we've been lucky, and we realized a long time ago that the best way would be if we can somehow self-finance ourselves. Because when you rely only on grants, only on the government money, they give you money once or twice, and that's it. I remember, you know, after 1 or 2 years, I went to the regional government. I said, well, you know, we need a grant for this year. They said, well, we gave you the money last year. You don't realize archaeology lasts 50 or 100 years. You know, archaeology has been around for 200 years. It always needs, you know, money to do more research. So I said, well, let's see what we can do. So on one hand, you have the science and archaeology, but I think the best tool is through the tourism. Because I do a lot of, you know, lectures all over the planet. I invite people to come. So they come as visitors, as guests, organized group. You know, they pay little tickets here, they buy a few books, they buy DVDs. Nobody makes a fortune on books and DVDs, but at least it helps. You can pay analysis, you know, archaeological reports, archaeologists, geologists, lab analysis, radiocarbon dating. Plus, maintenance is a great expense. For example, the tunnel that we've been discovering, you know, we need to put the wooden support, and it's high humidity every 3-4 years. We need to replace the wood. It costs a lot of money for that, electricity, the tools. So it is, you know, archaeology is expensive. Of course it's expensive. But I think we've been managing to do that. And the summer time is good. Tourists are there. Winter time is very slow, no tourists. But then we always find some ways. Of course, I've been the biggest donor through my business in Houston. But, you know, sometimes it is like some invisible hands is behind you, helping you to go through all of this. And so we've been managing. And so many supportive people, they come. Some of them, you know, donors. Some of them sponsors. Some of them, you know, they're helping other ways. So I think it's coming. When you have, you know, sincere effort there, you know, the results are coming.
The universe aligns.
Something is out there that's been helping us. I know that.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about the scalar wave. Are you getting anything coming back?
Well, thinking about the this, first we are calling it energy being going through the top of the pyramid. You know, the physicists are saying, well, obviously you have to have a source either in the pyramid or below the pyramid so you can transmit, you can emit, you know, those frequencies and the scalar waves and energy being. But then, 7 years back, I did a book called The Ancient History from Behind the Veil. I was talking to six Akashic record readers, spiritual persons. And at that time, we didn't even start to do any of this energy measurements. So I was talking to them about the Sun Pyramid. I was applying scientific protocols. I didn't tell them what I was going to ask them. They didn't know me. They didn't know each other. So I was just asking them, tell me about the Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun. And almost all of them were telling me there was energy beam going down to the center of the pyramid. And then, you know, today when I'm thinking about it, they were right. This energy that the pyramid is a transmitter, but at the same time it has to be an antenna. It has to receive the information. So this energy should go both ways, up and down, which is really logical. And it fits the idea of the electric universe perfectly. So you have, you know, the flow of the information both ways. So I would say that the time goes by, we will be realizing the genius of those pyramid builders who are making such a delicate energy machines. And when we think about the influence on society, I would say that the pyramids are not just construction, they are dead. You know, whenever I pass the Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun, when I look at it, I got such a pleasant feeling. It is like there is an interaction between us, but it's not just in my case, in the case of many other visitors. And when I think of it, you know, of course everything is alive. Our planet is a huge energy ball, it is alive. The pyramids are very ancient and very powerful energies. And when you have energies like our human energies, pyramid energy, the energies they communicate, it can be subconscious level, but they do communicate. And it is possible that whoever built them, they build them with a certain level of intelligence. Now, I'm just guessing it at this point, but if there is an intelligence there, probably it can affect the society around the pyramid. So we will see what the future will bring. But I think we are in there for more bigger surprises.
Well, it would be really interesting to get some of the computer scientists and electrical engineers in there and try to start figuring out how to decode that thing and how it works. You know, that would be really interesting.
But, you know, in some cases we did find some symbolism, some carved symbols, and in the tunnels we did uncover one block with the symbols that's combination of the geometry and the letters that we have them nowadays. And of course in Europe the most significant combination of the two is so-called the runic writings or the runes, the runic symbols. Now, the runes were very important because every symbol had meaning. In our case, our alphabet, A, B, C, D, our letters mean nothing. Letter A, it means nothing. You need to put 4 or 5 letters to get the word, and then you are getting the meaning. But the runes, every symbol had meaning at the first level. And then every symbol was a number. And every number has meaning at the second level, and so on. Well, 8 runic symbols were carved on one of our blocks. And the translation that we got would go like this. The gate has been closed. We will have to defend ourselves and conquer until the cosmic gate is open again. So, I would say a lot of intriguing stuff down there.
Interesting. That's what the symbol said? That's what it read? Well, that's just fun to read that and see, and it would generate, it'd be a good theme for a movie, right?
Exactly.
An Indiana Jones movie based on that in the Bosnian pyramids. And you could be Indiana Jones. That's fun. Well, okay. Well, in closing, what do people do when they go there? I mean, you bring a lot of tourists there and use that to raise money for your research. So it's a good cause, right? But what do they get the opportunity to go and do when they're there?
They come to this little Bosnian town of Visoko, which is just 20 miles northwest from the capital city of Sarajevo. They landed in International Airport in Sarajevo, 30 minutes drive, they are in Visoko. And what they see, the Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun, which is very obvious. They can visit the megalithic blocks that we uncovered 3-4 feet below the soil. We have 16 sections like with those uncovered concrete blocks. They can go to the top of the pyramid being exposed to this energy beam. And according to some people, it does affect our DNA. And some people are saying the sun pyramid is a male, very strong, powerful energy. The moon pyramid is a little bit different. It consists of terraces made from sandstone-shaped blocks and plates. It's more like a female energy. And we have 64 sections that we uncovered in the moon pyramid. They are coming to the tunnels, to the what we call officially underground labyrinth Ravne. Ravne is part of this town. Ravne means flat. So they enter the tunnels. We have about 6,000 feet, about 1,850 meters that we of the tunnels that we cleared and we protected with the wooden support. A lot of chambers in there, 5-6 chambers. They can go, they can meditate, they can see traces of very old civilizations. And of course, healing aspect in the tunnels. Last year, we discovered the entrance to the second level tunnels, and we cleared about 35, 40 feet, and we're going to be clearing this year some more with our volunteers in June. And then, there is another structure called the tumulus. Tumulus is artificial conical hill. Also on the top, we measure the energy beams. People go there. Many instances, they go, they meditate. It's a beautiful nature over there. Now, other pyramids, the Love, the Temple of Mother Earth, the Dragon, we haven't done much uncovering there. But also, for people who love good energies, they go there. It takes 3 full days to check all the sites that we have uncovered. So if they have 3 days or 7 days, they can go 2-3 times to the tunnels. That would be good. If they have 2 hours, they see tunnels in the Sun Pyramid. It will give them the idea. They want to join some of our tours. Every March and June, we organize spring equinox and summer solstice tour for 1 week, which I host. And then we go to one pyramid every day, experiencing, scientific energy, even spiritual aspect of every pyramid, plus healing aspects of the tunnels. A lot of fun, because people can communicate with the volunteers, with the experts, with the other guests, with the media. Everything is with a smile, open-minded people, share the knowledge. It's not like you go to different archaeological sites, Egypt, China. You cannot talk to the archaeologists. The diggers, they are not supposed to talk to you. It's always some secret. In our case, everything opens. So I think this is a new form how to organize archaeological sites in the future. This summer solstice, we're going to have a festival. Last year, we purchased some land, and we opened a beautiful park with some energy installations, with the stone circles, with some megaliths, with spiral botanical garden, with the 3 platforms for yoga and meditation to communicate with the nature. And every summer solstice, we have a festival, spiritual music. So, it's different concept of living, different concept of life. We started archaeology, now we have all these different things.
Well, it's just incredible that you have such an open environment. That's how things should be, in my opinion. But how many volunteers do you get each year, and are you always looking for more?
Yes, we are. And on our website, which is bosnianpyramid.org, bosnianpyramid.org, we offer like 3 different programs for volunteers. One program for the first-time volunteer is 11 days. It's about $500-$600, and it's all inclusive. You know, we wait for them at the airport, we take them to the hotel. They have 3 or 4 star hotels. They have during the week, Monday through Friday, they work at different sites, on the Sun Pyramid, in the tunnels, in the Moon Pyramid. We teach them a little bit about the archaeology. We teach them, you know, what to look for, artifacts, organic material, and so on. And usually we have 15, 20, 25 people per one group. It takes 10, 11 days. Then we have another one, the second group, the third one, about 10 to 12 groups during June, July, August, September. So people can go on our website, they can apply. And that's one program. The other program for people who've been coming every year, you know, we offer them to stay 3 days or 30 days or 90 days. They pick up the accommodation if they want to go the private. They're already, you know, familiar with some people in this town or Visoko. They go private or they go to hotel or hostel or 2-star or 5-star or 10. It's really up to them. All we tell them, hey, this is the calendar for this month. We work Monday from 9 to 3 o'clock. We will meet at the Sun Pyramid. And they know they come. We provide the lunch and the tools and the archaeologists. And so we are very, very flexible. And so there is something in there for everyone. If they have just 1 week, they can go 1 week. If they want to spend 4 months with us, and we have people like that, they spend all 4 months with us because they meet so many different people from so many different countries, and they love the experience.
Well, it's great for a college kid that was really looking for a great opportunity, right? Exactly. It'd be a great internship. Do you get a lot of college kids?
Yes. They come and they really love it. And you know, people come from different countries. They come from Brazil or New Zealand or Norway or Germany or US or Canada. They come and, you know, they spend some money to come to Bosnia. But then they come next year and the next year, meaning they're so much attracted to this project.
Well, there's so much to learn, and if you're meeting people from all different countries, and it's just the cultural experience, I would think would be quite amazing. And if you're providing an environment for that, $500 yes. isn't so bad for 11 days. That includes food, too?
Yes, food, accommodation, local transportation, everything is in there.
Oh, that's great. That's a great deal. Okay, so what more can we see from you in the future? Are you going to be at conferences, or where can people hear you talk?
Well, on our website, of course, we have all the events that we prepare every year, and I do conferences all the time around different countries. Just I came back from my Asian tour, Philippines and Cambodia and Tibet. Now I'm going this weekend to Croatia and Italy. Then, of course, I'll be in the States in August, and then October, Philadelphia, and then January, Sedona. So, you know, I travel a lot, I talk a lot, we're doing the interviews, invite people. But I think that once in their lifetime, they should come to Bosnia because this is such a unique and very comprehensive experience.
Absolutely. I think it'd be incredible. Once my daughter's out of high school, maybe when she graduates. You know how that is. I have a son in college and one in high school. It's just so, we got to figure out how to make it work. But that is incredible. I love what you're doing. Thank you for plugging along. And remember to send me that report with the salt in the prison. Yes. I really want that because I want to show some results. And if you have any other scientific results that you can send to me, I would yes. love that because then I'll include it up on the website. People can see the actual science behind it.
Exactly. I'll do that.
Okay, thank you so much, Sam, and have a great Dr. Sam. I got to call you Dr. Sam, and have a great day.
All right, thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
That's all I have for today with Dr. Sam. I hope you enjoyed that interview. If you want to hear it again, you can hear it at sarahwestall.com. Or if you missed the first part, of course, you can hear it at sarahwestall.com. It's also available on over 100 different digital channels, streaming and in podcast. It's on YouTube, and of course, which you just heard it on, is the national satellite all over the United States and in Canada. I also want to tell you I have a new Patreon page, and I really would appreciate if you would take a look at it and consider it. $2 a month, and it'll get you access to all of my ebooks. I think it's a fair deal. I try to make it so that you at least get product for what you're paying for. But it would be really great if you could help support this program. And I also wanted to tell you again about my newsletter that you can sign up for. But let me give you some insight on what I'm doing next week. We are going to have Roberta Grimes back to talk again about the after-death experience and what that is like. And then I also have Dark Journalist coming back to the program. He's going to talk about what's going on with the secret space program and the nefarious activities that are going on there to try to derail that. So that'll be a really interesting conversation as well. So I want to tell everybody to have an amazing weekend and a great rest of the day.